Good morning.
Good morning, Reverend.
Giving all praises to God, who is the head of my life. I just want to thank him today for all that he has continued to do for me.
Yes, God.
And then I want to give honor to our pastor for allowing us to have an opportunity to stand and to just pass on what God has given to us.
Thank you, Reverend.
God has a word for each one of his ministers that he can use them in whatever way that he sees fit.
That's right, he's Lord.
But unless you have a place that you can do that, then you're not able to make a commitment to do what God has called you out to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank him for having a heart to share and allow us to be able to stand.
Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you, Pastor Pickens, because I've been in many places and you have ministers on the roster and they're just there. They never get an opportunity unless they go someplace else to preach the word of God. So, and I want to thank the other ministers that are on the roster. Thank you all for being here this morning, the congregation. Thank you all for being here. And those that are working, because the church cannot operate on its own. It needs people.
That's right.
It needs people. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you to everyone. I'm going to go into a word of prayer, and then I'm going to have Dr. Reverend Price read the scriptures for you. But I'm going to give you the scriptures this morning where it's coming from, so you can have that while I'm praying. The scripture passage is going to be Luke 23, 32 through 43. My Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before your throne of grace.
Yes, Lord.
We come before you, Lord God, just to say thank you.
Thank you.
We come before you, Lord, asking that you please forgive us, Father, for our sins.
Yes, Lord.
We come before you, Lord, thank you for what you've done, Lord God, for the sacrifice,
yes, Lord.
Father God, that you did for us. We were not worthy, Lord God, but you did it anyway.
Yes.
You loved us so much, Lord God, that you gave your only begotten son. And Father, we want to thank you for that.
You.
Now, Father, I come before you this morning, Lord, asking that you allow your Holy Spirit to do the speaking.
Yes, Lord.
Allow your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to bring your word forth.
Yes.
Because, Father, you said the Holy Spirit would only speak that comes from you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I ask that you move me out of the way because I'm just a tool, Lord, to be used by you. And, Father, I want you to get the glory and the victory out of everything that I do, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Because I can do nothing, Lord God, of myself. And I just thank you, Lord, for giving me the mind to understand that you're always in control.
Yes, yes.
And, Father, we love you and we thank you, Father. In your son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the topic of the Bible, of the sermon this morning is the thieves on the cross. Were they saved? The thieves on the cross, were they saved? We have 3 points that we're going to look at. One is confession.
Amen.
The other one is believe.
Amen.
And the other one is receive.
Amen.
Confess, believe, and receive.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going to turn it over to Reverend Dr. Price so he can read this passage. Again, that's Luke 23:32-43.
And the scriptures read, there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, where they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots.
Mm-hmm.
And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God.
Mm-hmm.
The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription was also written over him in letters in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, seeing You are under the same condemnation. You have been condemned. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Amen. You may be seated. When I began to study the Word of God and I began to look at this passage, you know, you've heard something read and you've heard something taught and preached many of times. But I have learned, until the Holy Spirit comes in and show you what he wants to show you, amen, that you can pass on, you may never receive it or you may miss it. That's why it's so important when we sit down and we take time to study the Word of God that we have an open mind and that we ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to teach us and to show us what thus says the Lord. Now, as we go through this passage, we're going to see some things unfolding here. You know, and the things that we see, that there are two criminals that went to Calvary along with Jesus. Amen. And these criminals were crucified along with Jesus. We see that in this passage. And we're also going to see how in this passage that the people rejected who Jesus was. Amen. We're also going to understand that these people were sinners, mm-hmm, and unsaved. And so as we go through here, we're going to see that Jesus is doing something even while he is on the cross. Amen. And that's what became so, amen, powerful to me. Even in his time of death, yeah, even in his time of dying, yeah, 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 Jesus is still performing a miracle. Amen. Jesus, amen, is still working it out in our lives. Yeah, yeah. And I just like to think about that for a moment. When Jesus is working something out in your life, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's right there with you every step of the way. And I like this because he came for a purpose. And his purpose was that no one be lost. And even at this situation, you're going to see these things unfolding here in this passage. He says, there were also two other criminals, verse 32, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, he said, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left side. He said, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Mm-hmm. Who in their right minds is going to be dying? Dying in agony. Mm-hmm. And reach out and ask somebody to forgive those, yeah, that are doing it against them. This told me right here who I was dealing with. I'm dealing with a God like no other. Yeah, yeah. I'm dealing with a powerful God. Yeah. A God that can look, mm-hmm, at adversities. A God that can stare death in the face, yeah, and still come out victoriously. Yeah. See, God is a good God like that. He will show himself in every aspect of your life. But we have to be looking for it. We have to be watching for it. We can't sit with our blinded eyes and I closed up scriptures. We have to be walking through it and looking for that miracle to show up, because it's right there in our face, right there. And if we look close enough, we can see it. He asked the Father, Father, forgive them. Now, if a God asks for forgiveness, you are forgiven. God asked his Father, forgive those who were doing this against him. He asked his Father. He didn't have hate in his heart. He didn't have bitterness in his heart. Yeah. He didn't. He asked for forgiveness for those who were trespassing against him. He asked for forgiveness for those who had hung him on the cross. Yeah. He asked for forgiveness. That meant everyone, excuse me, Lord, that was included in this process, he asked his Father to forgive him. I just began to shout. I said, Lord, let us be that way. You told us to forgive one another, yeah, to forgive our brothers and sisters. We can't even forgive somebody for saying the wrong thing. Amen. And here Jesus forgiving somebody for hanging him on the cross to die. We have to learn that we have to walk in that forgiveness.
Yeah, Reverend.
We have to walk in that forgiveness and mean it, because when God says that we are forgiven, we are forgiven.
Amen.
That means
Amen.
Our slate is clean.
Yeah.
That means we can start over.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gave him an opportunity to start over
yeah.
when he asked his father to forgive him.
Yeah, Lord.
He said, "For they do not know what they do."
Yeah.
And I can just imagine, we didn't know at one point in time.
Amen.
We didn't understand the process, but when Jesus came into our lives and we accepted him as Lord and Savior,
yeah.
then the process became clear.
Yeah.
It became clear. And I know sometimes we may be standing here condemning these people, wondering, well, why did they do what they do? They did it because they were not saved. They did it because they didn't have the eyes to see.
Yeah.
See, God say he is the only one that can open our eyes.
Right.
He is the only one who can make us see.
Yeah.
God does everything for a purpose and for a reason.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And then it says, and they divided his garments and cast lots. Now this right here is just showing you here, this they have no respect. No respect. Here a person that you're crucifying is dying on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're going to take time to gamble to see who gets what
yeah.
of his clothes.
Yeah.
You're going to take time to gamble. Who thinks like that?
Yeah.
The world thinks like that.
Yeah.
The world don't care. Let you die.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to come take everything you have. They don't care who you left behind.
Yeah.
They don't care who you have to take care of. They're going to
yeah.
take everything you own
yeah.
that you have valued, that you have worked for. That's why God lets us know that this stuff is not what? It's not eternal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to start focusing on the things that are eternal
yeah.
and not the things that we can just see. Because he said it's all going to pass away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all for naught. It's okay. He don't mind you having stuff, but don't fall in love with it.
Yeah.
Don't put it before him.
Amen.
And then 35 says, and then the people, it said, stood
yeah.
looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself.
Yeah.
If he is the Christ,
yeah.
the chosen of God.
Yeah.
Unsaved people. When you're unsaved, you're blind, you can't see.
Uh-huh.
If they were saved and if they knew, they knew that Jesus could not come down off that cross.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't come down.
That's right.
He had a mission.
Amen.
His mission was to go to the cross.
Yeah.
So he couldn't come down off that cross.
Amen.
He had the power to do so.
Yeah.
He could have.
Yeah.
But his mission was to stay on that cross.
Yes. Yes.
He did what his father sent him to do. He had to stay on that cross.
Yeah.
See, if they were saved and understood that, they would know that he stayed on that cross for
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He stayed there for you.
Yeah.
He stayed there for me.
Yeah.
That's why he stayed on that cross.
Yeah.
That's why he suffered what he suffered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did it for us so we would have a right to what?
Yeah.
Eternal life. He had to stay on that cross.
Yeah.
And verse 36 says, the soldiers also mocked him,
yeah.
coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.
Yeah.
One time, save yourself. Two times, save yourself.
Uh-huh.
Jesus had to stay on that cross.
Yeah, yeah,
he said, because, see, those who were in authority, the government,
yeah.
Isaiah talked about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He talked about how the government was going to bruise his head and the people were going to be against him. He talked about it. He told the story mm-hmm. of Jesus. And so as we began to look at this, we knew that Jesus had to stay on that cross.
Yeah.
I just can't say that enough, because people in authority even today don't understand the process of the cross.
Yeah.
We don't understand the cross. We don't understand what it represented. We just think that Jesus died on the cross.
Yes.
But if he had not died on the cross, where would we be?
Yeah, Lord.
What chance would we have to enter into heaven if he had not died on that cross? Where would we be? I'm so thankful that he stayed on that cross. I'm so thankful that although they mocked him, although they talked about him, although they gambled for his garments and his clothing, he stayed on that cross. Thank you, Lord God, for staying on that cross. Because you know what? When he stayed on that cross, he freed us up. He set us free when he stayed on that cross. He gave us an opportunity to do these things, to confess, to believe, and to receive when he stayed on that cross. He stayed on that cross. Thank you, Lord, for staying on that cross. And then they even went a little bit further. They said, and an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then the one of the criminals who were hung blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Three times. If you be the Christ, save yourself. And I looked at that. I said, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. Can you see the Trinity in that? Can you see God working through all this process? Can you see God working with Jesus on that cross? Can't you see that he left on record behind so we would know the process that we had to go through to get to this point? As we go through here, we're going to see that. We're going to see how Jesus was even teaching us while he was on the cross. We're going to see how Jesus was saving us even while he was on the cross. God is a good God. He don't make any mistakes. He does things decently in an order. And we have to learn, we have to line our lives up to be decent in order with the Lord. And I'm so thankful that he is. So thankful that he is a good guy. It says, but the one thief said, if you be the Christ, come down here and save yourself and save us too. What he is doing here, this is a sinner who is still rejecting. See, he's rejecting Christ. This is what this is all about. I don't believe you who you say you are because you hanging up here with me. But see, what he didn't understand, God said that he would never leave us, forsake us. So if I'm hanging on the cross, Jesus is going to be hanging on the cross too. Amen. That's what we didn't understand. So he hanging on this cross with you. He didn't have to stay there for himself because he didn't have no sins. So this thief rejected Christ. But then it says, the other one, verse 40. But the one answered, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God? So here you see, do you not even fear God? He says, seeing you are under the same condemnation, you have been condemned. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Now what this person did, the first thief rejected Christ. The second thief, what he said was, we did what we did. So he's confessing. We did what they say we did. We did it. He confessing what he did. We did it. And then what he does, he goes on as he confessed that he is a sinner. And see, that's what we will not do. We will not acknowledge that we are sinners. We just want to pretend like we just go through this life and everything is okay. But we are sinners. And we have to learn to acknowledge that sin. When we have sinned before God, we must learn how to acknowledge, Lord, I have sinned before you. And ask God to forgive you for that. See, as you walk through this life, when you don't learn how to ask for forgiveness and don't learn how to acknowledge your sin, that sin becomes a burden on you and it stays with you. It has not been released because you have not accepted that you are a sinner. And then it says, but the man has done nothing wrong. He acknowledged that Jesus was righteous. He acknowledged that he was righteous. He hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't done anything to deserve to be here. We need to understand that. Jesus didn't do anything to be on that cross. It was us. We were the sinners, not Jesus. We need to acknowledge our sins and recognize that we are sinners.
Yes, Lord.
And when we're able to do that, then something else begins to happen.
Right,
uh-huh.
Yeah, God.
Then it says, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yes.
Now this man said, Lord. So he has what? Confessed his sins. And now he is acknowledging that Jesus is Lord over his life. He is Lord, he said. He could have called him anything else. He could have called him that man. He could have called him anything. Hey, you. Anything. But he acknowledged that he was Lord. Until we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord over our lives, then he is not for you. We must acknowledge and accept that Jesus is Lord over our life. So now we have what we have confessed, the sinner confessed. And then he acknowledged that Jesus is Lord over his life. And look what happens after that. He said, then said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And verse 43 says, and Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The man confessed his sins. Then he acknowledged Jesus as Lord over his life. And now he's accepting salvation because Jesus is saying, this day you will be with me in paradise. So one of the thieves was not saved and rejected Christ. But there was one, even on the cross, who was saved even in his dying. So when we go through this life, don't tell people that you have to be baptized to be saved. Don't tell people those lies. God said that if we but confess, believe, and receive, he said we shall be what? Shall be saved. It's not hard, but tell people the truth. Don't tell them that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Don't tell them if you're not baptized, you're not saved. Don't tell people that because that is not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, confess your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. And that's the route that we need to go, that we know that God has laid a plan out for us. And he made it simple that we can just do these things, these three things, and we will have salvation to eternal life. Why? Because Jesus did not come down from that cross. And because he stayed on that cross, we all have an opportunity to be saved.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Reverend, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."